Well, good morning, everyone. So great to see you all on this beautiful summer long weekend. Looking forward to the next few Sundays as we finish the Sacred Summer series. Hope you've enjoyed it. Got some good feedback from various people over the summer, and thankful for Pastor Adam Fry and Pastor Adam Gilflin for sure in the last 2 weeks. Haven't heard much. I've been totally disconnected. I didn't even go on Facebook the last 2 weeks, which is absolutely incredible. It's been quite a peaceful life, actually, and so I'm very thankful for the couple weeks of holidays, but get right back into it, and we're going to go into today's message. So let me ask you this question. How many of you, if you were to be really honest, ever been in an argument with somebody? Just raise your hand. How many of you are in an argument with the person you're sitting beside right now? Yeah, all these spouses are raising their hands. I don't know about you, but there are times I find myself in arguments with people, and the thing that we're arguing about is not even the issue. The what we think is the topic and the central element, we think that that's the problem of the argument. But the truth is that the argument is really about communication. There are moments that Ainsley and I get in fights. I know you don't think pastors get into fights with their spouses, but Ainsley and I get into these verbal heated moments. They're fights. And we get into these moments, and it's so funny because there have been so many moments in these times where, as we're arguing, we are arguing about the same thing. It's like we're on the same side of the fence, and we're arguing as if the other person's on the other side of the fence. And after some point, one of us, and it's usually Ainsley, will say these words: "If you would just stop talking and listen." If you would just stop talking and listen. Because the argument has nothing to do with the issue. The argument has to do with the fact that I'm not paying attention or she's not paying attention. We're not listening. We're so eager to share our stuff. So eager to argue, so eager to debate, so eager to present our case that we're not even listening to realize that we're actually talking about the same type of thing. Not listening, stop talking and listen. I remember, I think I've shared this 2 years ago. I remember coming back from Ottawa Valley Camp, and I had taken this counselor home. He had to go to Belleville, it was the end of camp, super tired. He's in my car. I went to turn on music and so that I could just kind of be focused and just kind of chill as I'm about to go on holidays. And this counselor just starts talking. And I thought, okay, I'll talk with him for a few moments. And then he talked some more. And the thing is he just kept talking and talking and talking and talking and talking. And he did this for the whole way from Ottawa Valley right down to Eganville, which is about a half an hour, 20 minute to half hour drive. And he gets there, and I think, okay, the music's not doing anything but causing me problems. So I'm gonna turn it off and kind of silence the noise in the car. And as he comes to the end of the conversation, he makes a transition. Rather than pausing and breathing and allowing me to be restful, he makes a transition and says, okay, what do you want to talk about next? And the next thing he does another topic, and he starts talking and talking and talking and talking and talking. And then a half hour later, he ends that conversation and without even breathing, okay, what do you want to talk about next? He did this all the way home. I was emotionally exhausted. And there were so many moments when he said the words, "What do you want to talk about next?" where I wanted to scream at him and say, "What do you mean? What do I want to talk about next? I haven't talked at all. You've been doing all the talking. I've just been listening. You just keep talking and talking and talking, and where there should be a period and the invitation for me to say something, there's simply a comma that leads you into another conversation." And friends, I wonder if that's the way God feels sometimes with us. I wonder if we come into prayer and we just keep talking and talking and talking and talking and talking and talking and talking, and God's going, "Am I able to get a word in?" We're not actually communicating. It's just you. I want you to understand this, is that every true relationship must be a two-way communication street. True relationships are not just one person doing all the talking and one person listening. A true relationship will have both individuals talking and both individuals listening. And so while you may go to prayer and echo all your words and speak the things in your heart and bring your petitions before God and your worship and all that, if you don't take a moment to actually hear what He wants to say to you, then there is not a deep relationship. A relationship that God wants for our lives. But there's a problem. And it's the problem I hear so many people say to me whenever I talk about hearing from God. They'll say, Pastor Jeff, it's great. It's great that you say that you hear from God. But the truth is that I never hear from God. I don't want you to raise your hand, but just in your mind, just like do a mental hand raise. How many of you in your mind say, yeah, I don't feel like I hear from God very often? It's just a very common belief that God doesn't speak a whole lot and we don't hear from him a whole lot. So we approach prayer, we approach our times, our quiet times, just talking to God and just expecting that God's just there to listen and he never wants to communicate. But the truth is, friends, the Bible tells us that God does want to communicate. Look at this first verse. It says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. John 10:27. Jesus says to his disciples that his sheep, those who call themselves followers of the Good Shepherd, those who call themselves followers of Christ, will know his voice. They'll know what he's saying. They won't just be people who come to prayer and just simply bring their petitions and bring their confessions and bring their praises. They will be people who will come into a place with God who will take time to listen to his voice. If we are to truly have a deep relationship with God, our prayer times and our relationship with God must not just be us communicating vertically. We must allow God to download things into our hearts. We must stop talking and listen to what he has to say. But some of us go, well, that's kind of hard. I don't understand. I don't know how to hear from God. Pastor Jeff, it's easier for deeply spiritual people to hear from God, but I just don't hear from God. I get it. I get that John says this. I get that God's people, his sheep will hear his voice, but I don't know how to hear the voice of God. I want to teach you some principles this morning that are pretty simple, but I pray that they will help you in your attempt at the sacred practice of listening, hearing the voice of God. The first principle is this, is that as Christians, we need to get focused. Look at this verse in Mark chapter 1, verse 35, about getting focused. It says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up and he left the house and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Let's just break this down for a second. Very early. I mean it's in the wee hours before everybody else is up. Jesus isn't a sleep-in person. His disciples are all asleep. Whatever house he's in, wherever he's chosen for his bedtime dwelling place, wherever he is, everybody else is in bed. It's the wee hours of the morning, and so he doesn't have the distractions of people talking to him. He doesn't have the distractions of people wanting things from him. He doesn't have to worry about the people in the room. They're asleep, and he just lets them sleep. It says very early he gets up, and while it was still dark, I mean, it's dark. He's not able to see the busyness of the city life. He's not able to see all the things that are in the room. It's dark, and he's focused on one thing. It's on his Father. He gets up and he leaves. He gets away from his common setting because, friends, so many times in our common setting, we get distracted by things. He gets up and he leaves the house, and he goes to a place where he's all by himself. Friends, he is getting focused. He goes to prayer to hear from God. He gets focused. He gets up early before everybody else. He does it while it's dark. He leaves the place, and he goes to a place where he is by himself. He gets focused. I want to tell you that one of the reasons why we don't often think we hear from God, even though he's trying to speak, is because we are so focused on all the other voices. We are so distracted in our world. I got to tell you, I'm just confessing. My wife's going to shout amen, probably have revival in her life when I share this. But I have an addiction to my phone. I definitely do, and I'm trying to get better at it. And getting off Facebook for 2 weeks was a huge victory for me. It was so tempting for me to get on Facebook over the holidays. But I tried so hard to stay away because I didn't want to get distracted. I wanted to get focused. I want her to have my attention. And we are so distracted in this world all the time, and there's so many voices, digital voices, audible voices, stresses of life that come our way that we often are unable to hear from God. It's like this. Otto and Gee, would you help me out? I'm talking, but you can't hear me. I'm trying to communicate parts of my message to you, but all you hear is the noise. And friends, I want to tell you that too often in our lives, we're going so quickly and being so distracted by things that it's just like that. That God is speaking, his lips are going, but all we hear is silence from him because the other noises are so loud. And when Jesus says that his voice, his sheep hear his voice, he's not just saying, hey, they recognize me. He's saying there are so many other shepherds' voices that are out there. My sheep will be able to distinguish my voice because they've learned to focus on what I'm saying. They've learned to push the things that are so distracting out of their lives and focus on me and what I'm trying to say to them. I don't know about you, I sometimes find prayer difficult. Anybody want to be really honest this morning and say, yeah, that's you too? Just raise your hand. This is going to be helpful for many people. Okay, thank you. Thank you, all the honest people. The liars, we'll have an altar call afterwards. We'll have a great revival. But prayer isn't always the easiest thing. There are times it's so easy, but there are times it's not. I remember, and these moments still happen, but especially when I was a teenager and first started to engage in prayer, you know, I'd be in my room, and I'd start to pray, and I'd kind of be just kind of walking through my room, and I'd see a book on my bookshelf. Oh, that's a good book. And I'd walk over, and I'd pick it up, and pause. Pause on my prayer, and I'm start looking through the book. And then 5 minutes later, I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm praying. Put the book back down. Oh God, I'm so sorry. And I start praying again. And then I'd be there, and I'd look around, and something else would get my attention. I'd seize it in my room. I was like, oh yeah, I'm playing softball this week. And I wonder what my stats are, because I used to record them on the wall. And I'd go over it and look at my, and I'd get so distracted. I thought, well, maybe I'll play some music to help me out, so be a little bit more focused. And then I'd be praying, and then the song that I really liked would be on in worship, and I'd start to sing it and forget about praying. And I realized that all these things in my life were just distracting me and preventing me from praying properly and preventing me from actually hearing from God. And so I had to do what Jesus did. Not early, but for me it was late at night. At the end of my day, before I went to bed, I would go down to my basement. Or immediately after school, one of the two, I'd go down to my basement. And I would turn off all the lights. And I'd close the door and I'd say to my mom, Mom, I'm going downstairs to pray. Please do not disturb me. If anybody calls, I'll call them back. I just need to pray. And I'd go in my basement and I would turn off the lights. And friends, that may sound really weird, but I need it to be super dark because my mind goes all over the place. My mind's constantly thinking. There are moments you probably recognize in my sermon where I'll just kind of have these little mental glitches because I'm like 3 points ahead in my mind because I'm racing like crazy and I'm preaching. My words are right here, but my mind's over here. That's the way it is with me in prayer. And I found that I had to be in the dark. I had to be where it was quiet. I couldn't have noises. And I couldn't have anything that I saw. I had to make sure that I was able to engage with God so that I was focused. Because if I was going to hear from him, I couldn't hear the other noises. And friends, I want to tell you that for many of you, you may need to do some real practical things to hear God's voice at the beginning stages of this practice. You may need to do it when it's dark. You may need to go to a solitary place. You may need to pull away from people. You may need to go to a different location where the familiarity of your surroundings isn't going to be a distraction because you won't hear the voice of God. All you'll hear is the noise of that, like that music that we heard a few moments ago. We've got to get focused if we're going to hear the voice of God. The second thing that I think we need to understand beyond getting focused is that we need to get familiar. And get familiar. There's a great passage. It's found in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22 to 24. If we could just look at that verse on the screen. It says, but Samuel replied, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of divination, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Next verse. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. Now, for those of you who want the context of this verse, what it is Saul has been, who's the king of Israel at this time. He has led the children of Israel into a battle. And God's told Saul, I want you to kill everything that's live. I want you to kill everything. Men, women, children, animals. I want it all dead. And Saul does just about everything, but he keeps a portion of the rams or the lambs, the sheep. He keeps a portion of them so he can make a sacrifice to God. God's spoken something to him. Been very clear, I want you to do this. And Saul says, okay, I'll do all this except for this portion because I want to bring a great sacrifice to you. He chooses to disobey as if his ideas are better than God's ideas. And so we read this passage, and Samuel, who's the prophet of the day, comes to Saul and says, hey, I want to talk to you. This is what God's saying. God is saying that you need to understand that obedience is better than sacrifice. And because you disobeyed him again, he is rejecting you as king. Now friends, listen. I want you to imagine this for a second. This is a prophet, just a humble man who hears from God, who didn't even ask to be a prophet. His mom threw him in with Eli and get raised in the house of God, and he becomes a prophet for God. And now God gives him the specific word where he rebukes the king of the nation, the most powerful man in the world. And not only does he rebuke him, but he has a word that's so clear. God is rejecting you as king. Can you imagine? Can you imagine me walking up to Parliament Hill? Say, I need to have a meeting with Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. I got a few words for you. These are from God. This is what God said to me. He's rejecting you. You are no longer going to be Prime Minister. Now, first, I want to get a meeting. But I'm talking, I think the government might be on my back after that. If I start becoming public about something very negative about our Prime Minister, the government might be on my back. Here's Samuel, and he's confronting the king of Israel. He's got a word that's specific from God. It's not a good word. It's not an encouraging word. It's a very negative word, but it's so clear. And as I read this passage, I'm amazed. I'm like, I want to be that kind of man of God. I want to be a man of God who's so familiar with the voice of God that I'm able to step into people's lives and speak something so specific that I clearly hear from God. I don't know about you, but there have been some people in my life that I've known who seem to be like Samuel, who seem to be so familiar with God that they can just speak his words. I remember in my second year of pastoring, there was a youth pastor, it was Benny Hinn's youth pastor. We brought him to Ottawa Valley Camp, and he heard from God. And I remember one night he prayed over each of the youth pastors, and he had the microphone, and he spoke words of life over each one. And he said things about our futures that there was no way he could have known. He barely knew any of us. And he so heard from God that every single person he spoke over, it came about. Everything he said. And I'm like, man, I want to be that kind of man of God. I want to be a person like Samuel who can clearly hear from God, who will hear him so clearly, even if it's a difficult word. I want to be that kind of man. And most people in this place would say, like, I want to be that too. But friends, listen to me. Samuel didn't start there. Samuel didn't start as being a person who just clearly heard the voice of God. Let's rewind his life just a few chapters. Let's look at this next verse. First, found in 1 Samuel chapter 3, it says this. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. And then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, here I am. And he ran to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. But Eli said, I didn't call you. Go back and lie down. So he went and laid down, and again the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. My son, Eli said, I did not call, go back and lie down. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. Next slide. Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and laid down in his place. The Lord came and stood there calling as the other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. Two parts of his life. The first part found in chapter 15, Samuel hears the word of God clearly. He's so familiar with his voice. But the beginning of Samuel's journey, he's completely unfamiliar. He feels the same way as many people in this place feel, where you're just not familiar with the voice of God. Oh, God speaks to people for sure, but he just doesn't speak to me. I just don't even know it. And if he's speaking, I'm not recognizing it. This is Samuel. Samuel's lying down in the house of God, and God calls him three times, Samuel, Samuel. And every time he jumps up like a good servant, comes running to the high priest, to Eli, and he says, "Hey, here I am, here I am. I didn't call you. You must be hearing things." Goes, lays down. Three times this happens. And finally, Eli says to him, "Hey, I think I know what's going on. You're not really familiar with the voice of God. But God's trying to speak to you. It's taken four times. It's going to take four times before you actually realize it's his voice. But it is God trying to speak to you. You're just not familiar with it. The next time he calls you, respond. Because God's trying to speak to you." Goes and lays down. And again, fourth time, God speaks to Samuel and says, "Samuel!" Finally, "Okay, God, it's you." Four times, friends. Four times at the beginning of his journey. Four times God's trying to speak to him. He's just not familiar with his voice yet. And I want to encourage you to with this, is that you may be in a place where you feel like the beginning of Samuel's journey, where you're not very familiar with his voice, where he's been trying to speak to you, but you just didn't recognize it. You've had little promptings, or people have said things, and you're kind of wondering, maybe this is God. You've got these questions in your mind, but you just are not very familiar with him. And he keeps calling you, and you're just not familiar. I'm encouraging you, get more and more familiar with his voice, because the more familiar you get, you will get to a place where you will hear him more clearly, like Samuel did in 1 Samuel chapter 15. I remember when I was in these teenage years, down in my basement where it was dark. I would do what most people do, as I'd spend some time worshiping him. I would ask for forgiveness from all my sins. I mean, I was a teenager, so I was confessing nonstop. And then I'd begin to pray, and I had this mental picture, and I'd pray for family, and I'd pray for things at our church, and I'd pray for dreams I had in my future, and I'd pray for all these issues and missionaries. I mean, I just had this whole mental map, and I'd begin to pray. And I'd pray for these long periods of time, and then I'd come to this place where I thought, you know, I need to listen. And here I am in the dark. And friends, I would do this, and it was weird the first time. The first time, it was just like Eli, the first time. What do you mean God's speaking to me? It's weird the first time, but I did this. I'd close my eyes, and I'd just listen. And I wouldn't think about anything. I'd just listen. And these words would begin to fill my mind. And there are moments, I have to confess, there are moments I'm like, is this God, or is this me, or is this the devil? Because those are the questions we ask. Is it God, is it me, or is it the devil? And I think, okay, the words that come into my mind are very, very positive words, life-giving words. I'm pretty sure it's not the devil. And then I'd keep listening to the words, and I'm like, those are not words I would think about myself. These are not words that I would put in my own mind. I didn't put those there. It must be God. And the other thing I would recognize is that the words that were coming into my mind were in alignment with Scripture. And I thought, it has to be God. I thought, I better start to speak these things out. So friends, this may seem really weird, but I'd close my eyes. And I would speak what I heard God saying to me. "Jeff, I'm calling you. I'm placing my hand upon you. You'll preach to blah, blah, blah." And he speak things to me. "Jeff, my hand's upon you. I will give you every provision you've ever needed. I will take care of you. Whenever you feel empty, I'm going to be there to fill." I start to speak the things I heard. And the more I spoke out, the more I listened, the more I recognized the voice of God, the more I began to realize that this is his voice, the more familiar it got. And friends, I began to step out of that dark basement and walk to school, or walk to church, or hang out with my friends, and the voice would be there again. The voice would speak to me, and I'm not in my prayer time now, but the voice sounds the same, like the same voice that I heard in my basement, and the Spirit of God would begin to speak to me. I'm like, I know that voice. It's a familiar voice. It's God trying to speak to me. And the more I paid attention, the more I listened, the more familiar I got and recognized this is him, the more familiar I was with who he was. I knew his voice because I got familiar with it. First time I ever spoke out something over someone's life was at a youth retreat. We had a great worship time. It was a Saturday night youth retreat. It was in my first year Bible college. And our speaker sat us all down and said, "This was a powerful time, but God wants to use you in the gifts of the Spirit." And he said, I just want someone just to listen to God and just speak out what he says. And I remember being there going, God, I was so nervous because I had this image in my mind that if I speak something that I say is for God and it's not from God, that they will take me to the outskirts of the city and stone me. Right, like that's the Old Testament model, right? And we get so freaked out. Like if we say this is God and it's not God, then people will stone us and put us to death and reject us and make us look like we're really weird, right? So I was shaking. I was like, God, I don't want to mess this up. I don't want to mess this up. And he just put a few words in my heart. And I was nervous, like, please use me, please use me, please. And I felt these words, just a few words, like just these ideas. And so I was so nervous, but I thought, I feel like that's the same voice I've been listening to all along, so I'm going to try it. I've only spoken over myself where it's safe, but I want to become more familiar with his voice, and so I'm going to try this. And so I said, I feel like God is saying this. And I start to share these words. And then I was like, it was like someone turned on the faucet, and all these words started to come out. It's like, where is that coming from? But God just starts speaking through me. Finished. Then the speaker said, okay, I want everybody to sit down. He says, let's talk about what Jeff just shared. Does that mean anything for anybody? And so all these hands go up. I needed those words. Somebody else, that was for me. It's like, is there anybody else who heard those words? And then two or three people put up their hands and said, yeah, God gave me exactly the same words. And I realized that moment that God actually wants to speak to me. I just need to get more familiar with his voice. That was my first time. My first time. Friends, there have been moments where I've been in places where God has placed a word in my heart that is so specific. I've been driving my car. This was in pre-hands-free days, okay? So don't stone me. But I remember before I was in Ottawa, I was driving my car, and I would call pastors, and I'd say, hey, I just got a word for you. This is what God's saying to you. And on the other end of the line, a pastor would say, Jeff, you have no idea what that means. I'm going through this, this, this. You knew exactly what to say. How? Because I got more familiar with his voice. Friends, you want to speak for God? Because everybody in this place has the ability to speak for God. Everybody has the ability to be a Samuel. Everybody in this place has the ability to be like Jesus, has the ability to speak the words of God. We just need to get familiar with his voice. We listen and we take a little step. It's like that movie. I don't know if you've seen that movie, What About Bob? Small steps. The first time you hear from God, I think this is God, and you take a small step. Sounds like his voice. And you go, oh, that was him. And then you take another small step. Oh, yeah, that was him. I'm going to take a bigger step. And then God speaks again. And it's like, God, that's a bit of a bigger step. Yeah, try it, Jeff. Okay. And then I get more familiar. And it's like, and God says something else. And I'm like, God, that's a bigger step. Yeah, try it. And oh, yeah. And then God speaks again. I'm like, oh, my goodness. That's a huge one, God. He goes, yeah, try it. Giant step. Oh, yeah, it was him. You see, friends, we have got to get more familiar with his voice, that we begin to learn in the small steps. We just get the little nudges, the little prompts, and we say, hey, I think this is what God's saying. Not by the way, if you do this for your own life or for somebody else, don't go, thus saith the Lord, or I declare God's word over you. Just go up to somebody and say, hey, I feel like God's saying this. Because God wants to speak to you and through you. But we need to get familiar with his voice. And so Samuel learns to get familiar. We get familiar, we get focused, and lastly, we get exploring. Get exploring. 3 weeks ago, I was doing a camp at Brayside Camp in Paris. Paris, Ontario, by the way, not Paris, France. That would have been nice. Paris, Ontario, and so on the Wednesday afternoon, they invite all the pastors from their district to a leadership luncheon. And so there were about 60 pastors, and that wasn't all their pastors, but there was about 60 pastors who show up for this luncheon. And so the deal was that I would have lunch, and then after lunch was done, I would get up and do some teaching on generational differences. And so I was sitting with my friend Kevin Shepherd, who pastors a church in Burlington. He's a great, great leader, and I was just sitting there, and we're talking, and we're in the middle of some conversation, and his daughter comes right up to the table, and she just stands there like this. And I'm watching her, and I'm kind of smiling because I've seen this look before. I know what's going on. And she's just standing there at the table like this. And Kevin and I keep talking, and she just stands there. And so finally Kevin says, turns to her and says, hey, do you need to talk to me? And she says, I need money. I start to do what you just did. I start to laugh. He goes, well, that's a problem. I don't have any cash on me. And she goes, well, I don't know how to pay for my meal. And he's like, okay. Here, and he hands her his credit card, and she walks away very, very happy. And so I start laughing. I said, Kevin, isn't that the way it is with kids? Every time they're there and you think they just want to say hi, they want something from you. They want to implore you for something. Give me money. That's usually what it is, by the way. Give me money. Friends, I wonder how many times God feels like that. That our times of prayer are about imploring. God, I need this. I need money. I need a miracle. I need you to heal. I need you to touch this person. I need you to step into the circumstance. I need. We're standing in the place of prayer. I need. And all we do is we implore. We implore, we beg for something. I read a book this over my holidays by Pete Gregg, who's the leader of 24/7 Prayer Internationally. And it's called How to Pray. And there's this great quote that I want to read to you this morning, if we could just pull that up on the screen. It says, there are ways of praying that are more like exploring than imploring. Woodland trails on which to shelter and places so beautiful, you stop and whisper praise. You stop and whisper praise. Prayer is more like exploring than imploring. And this quote just so struck me. I thought, man, I treat prayer like a place of imploring. I'm supposed to just ask for things. I come to God with all my needs. I need money. But prayer is supposed to be a place where we start to explore God. Where we come in to hear and to listen and to find out who He is. That we're like we're on an adventure to explore who He is. When was the last time you went into your prayer time not to ask God for anything, but simply to discover more about who He is? Friends, we lose sight of who our God is because all we do is use Him like a spiritual slot machine when He wants to be a God who is discovered. I want you to imagine this. Ainsley and I are on our first date, and I'm super excited, and so we go to, we're driving to a restaurant, and the whole time I'm just like, I want to impress her, so I'm telling her about who I am, and yeah, you know, I played these sports, and this is kind of the ministries I was involved in our church, and I'm telling her all about me, and giving her my whole life history, and so we get to the restaurant, and she's smiling, she seems to be really engaged, like she seems impressed with me. I've been telling her everything about me, and she's super impressed. So we sit down for our meal at the fancy restaurant Wendy's, and so we're sitting there, and so I think like she seems to be into me, and so I'm gonna let her know what my expectations for a girlfriend are, and so I start to tell her, you know, this is what I expect. If you're gonna be my girlfriend, I expect this. You need to call once every day. We need to see each other this many times a week, and you know, we need to be exclusively for each other. Blah 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 blah. And I'm just going through the whole list, and she's just so gracious and kind. She just smiles, and she just listens, and she's like, okay. We finished dinner, and now we're driving back home, and she says, I said to her, you know, you seem to be really receptive about the girlfriend thing, so like I want you to know, like I'm at a place in my life where like I'm going to go to Bible college, and so I'm going to be in ministry, so we might as well talk about my expectations for being my future wife. You know, you've been so receptive, and so I'm telling her everything. I expect, blah, blah, blah. I expect, blah, blah, blah. And probably if I had done that at that point, I probably would have been so stupid. You know, I expect you to make meal every time I get home. I expect you to do my laundry. I expect, it's the stupid stuff, right? Like things that would get you in trouble. Anyways, I do the whole thing, and she just smiles graciously, and we say goodnight, and I go home. I'm so pumped. My mom sees me. She's like, hey, how'd it go? I was like, oh, it's amazing. Ainsley is amazing. We had such a great date. And she's like, oh, that's awesome. So what did you learn about her? What? What did you learn about her? She's pretty. She smiles nice. What'd you learn? I didn't really learn anything. I spent so much time talking about what I wanted, what I needed, about me, that I failed to actually discover who she is. You see, friends, that's what happens in prayer. We go into prayer and we implore and we tell God about us and our needs, and it's not that he doesn't want to hear about our day. It's not that he doesn't want to hear our heart. It's not that he doesn't want to hear about our needs. It's not that he doesn't care. But when it's just that, we will never get to know who he is. You see, you have got to treat prayer as a place of discovery and listen to God so that he will unveil himself to you, so that you will begin to know a little bit more about who he is. About who he is. John 8, verse 28 and 29. Let's look at this verse really quickly. Jesus says, I do nothing on my own, but only what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. Jesus would go to a place of prayer and he'd listen to the voice of God, but he didn't just get the commands, he didn't just get the instructions. As he's listening, he begins to find out, he begins to discover who his Father is, and he sees what it is in the Father's heart that brings the Father pleasure. As he is listening to the Father, he begins to discover who his Father is. The elements that make him tick, the things that bring him joy, the things that bring him heartache. He knows exactly what the Father wants. Friends, we need to be listening so that we can discover who God is. I want you to look at one more verse, 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 21. It says this, it says, the Lord continued to appear at Shiloh. And there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. If there's a verse that you want to hang on to today, this is it. Samuel, right? He doesn't know God, doesn't know God's voice. And then later on, chapter 15, he knows God's voice very clearly. But this verse right here says that God kept showing up because Samuel stopped talking and listened. It says, there he revealed himself. Let's stop here for a second. This idea of revealing is to unveil. It's to take away the mystery. It's to take away that which covers a person so that you're not able to see. It's like if I had a big blanket here, you wouldn't be able to tell what I was wearing or what way my hair was parted or how tanned I am. You wouldn't be able to know what pair of shoes I had on because I'd be covered. But if I take away, if I reveal, if I put the blanket down, I unveil myself, you now see something about who I am. And this verse is saying that Samuel began to God began to reveal himself to Samuel through his word. As he listened to the word of God, as he heard the word of God in his times of prayer, God revealed who he was. Friends, listen. Hearing from God is not just so you can say you could hear from him. Hearing from God is not just to present people with information that's supernatural. But hearing from God allows you to see who he is. It allows you to explore our God. And my prayer is that you would begin to treat prayer not as just a place of imploring, but a place of exploring, where you hear his voice, you hear who he is, and you begin to discover the personality as the veil gets removed and God says, let me show you who I am. Hearing his voice to discover something about God. We get focused, we get familiar, we get discovering. Pastor Steve, would you come back? There was a man who was in his senior years, and he was quite concerned about his wife through some of their communication moments. He felt that she was losing her hearing, and was quite concerned. And this one day, he came to the room where she always would knit, and she would face this window that was on the other side of the room, and her back would be towards the door. And he stepped into the room, and he was thinking about this. It had been consuming his mind. And so he thought, I better try this. And he said his wife's name and said, can you hear me? Nothing. He walked a few more steps closer to her, about halfway through the room. And he tried again. He said, can you hear me? Nothing. Finally, he got right up behind her. And he said it again, same voice. Can you hear me? She turned her head and she said, for the third time, I hear you. For the third time, I hear you. You see, the problem wasn't that she had problems hearing. The problem was that he couldn't hear. And the truth is, friends, is that the problem isn't that God isn't speaking. It's that we aren't hearing. He's trying to say, hey, can you hear me? Can you hear me? But we're just not listening. We're not listening. Would you stand? In the Sacred Summer series, My prayer is that you would be taking a spiritual practice and you would put it in your life so that you get deeper with God. And friends, hearing God's voice is vital to your depth of relationship. I want you to know this. It's not just praying. It's not just telling God your needs, but it's listening to His voice. And I think God wants to speak some life over you. I think God wants to speak to you, first of all. That's where you get familiar with Him. And you may need to get away and get to a solitary place, maybe a dark place, maybe a place where there's nobody else around, and maybe an unfamiliar place, a place where you're not going to be distracted, to get focused. And as He speaks to you, you'll start to get familiar with His voice. And as He speaks to you, and the more familiar you get with His voice, He will start to speak through you. And as you are listening, you'll begin to discover how awesome our God is. Because friends, as He speaks, you begin to hear about His goodness. You begin to hear about His grace. You begin to hear about His love and His joy and His peace. You begin to hear about the things He thinks about you, the loving Father. I mean, friends, there's nothing like standing in the presence of God and simply hearing Him say, "Jeff, I love you so much." The Father's love to hear His voice. This is what I want you to do before I move on. I want you just to take a few seconds and simply quietly say, "Spirit, would you speak to me right now?" And then listen. I guarantee God's going to speak some to you. And you may be questioning, "Oh, is that really Him?" It's Him. It's Him. It's the beginning of getting familiar. So every person in this place, just for about a minute, just say, "God, would you speak something to me?" And listen to what comes into your mind and your heart. And what God's saying to you is, "I love you. And I want to be in relationship with you. This week, would you take a moment every day to listen to the voice of the Spirit? Because His sheep know His voice, and He wants to speak to you." And so, Jesus, we thank You today that You are not a silent God. And there are times where we feel like You're not talking. But every day You want to communicate to us, sometimes through Your word, sometimes through people, sometimes through things around us, certain circumstances. So often You just want to drop things into our hearts. I pray that we would practice getting focused. I pray that we would practice getting familiar so that we would know Your voice so clearly. Most of all, God, would we get discovering? Would we begin to approach prayer not as a place to implore You for our needs, but a place to discover who You are, that You are a good and great God. Speak to us this week. Speak to us today. And would You be honored in everything we do and say? We love You so much. Now would You be with this congregation? In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you, everyone.